And it's time now to talk about arts and culture in our regular look at all things entertaining. And this month, we talked about it being Mental Health Month. It's also been History Month, according to the Victorian Royal Historical Society. So we're going to go back in time as well with our regular guest artist and curator, Jessica Watson-Thorpe. Good afternoon.
Welcome. Hello, Claire.
Thanks
Thank
so much
you.
For coming in again.
My pleasure.
Now, for people who might not know her name, you've chosen a very famous artist who's associated with Bayside.
She is, yes, Clarice Beckett. So lots of people would have heard of Clarice Beckett. And I think there might even be a little signboard along the coast path in Bayside as well, where you can read a little bit of a snippet of what she did.
Yes, and funnily enough, the day before you told me that you wanted to talk about Clarice Beckett today, I had been on the coast path showing somebody that sign and talking about how wonderful her work
yes.
is.
Yes, yeah, it's very beautiful. And she's influenced a lot of modern day artists as well. So you can see sort of a flecks of her work throughout a lot of current Melbourne painters' work.
So I think that sign, because I was walking from Half Moon Bay towards Quiet Corner, Black Rock.
Yep.
So it's on that stretch
if
people want to go and have a look. So why do you think her work is still talks to us today?
Oh, her work has a really lyrical quality and this softness that a lot of people find hard to achieve. Like, her brushwork is immaculate. Her use of colour in a reduced palette is just so clean. So as a tonalist, they were sort of misty and foggy, but Clarice had the knack of taking misty and foggy and keeping it clear with a lot of colour clarity with her colour work, which is quite unusual in the tonalist movement.
So now correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm a beginner at this, but what I read about the tonalists is that, unlike the impressionists, that they were both trying to capture a moment.
Yes.
But the impressionists were doing it with brushstrokes.
Yes.
And the tonalists were doing it with fog.
Yeah, tone. So it is a little bit confusing.
Sort of misty.
Yeah, so the tonalists were trying to imbue an atmospheric conditional feeling, and they did that with a misty, foggy atmosphere. So they might lay down one colour first and then build up their colours on top of that. The main thing with tonalism is when you look at – so if you imagine a landscape in black and white, you see the lighter tones and the darker tones. That's what tone is. That people also call it value in the art world. And what they did was they broke down everything into tone and focused mainly on contrast. So the lighter pieces in the composition and the darker pieces. So they were often reduced compositions, simplified compositions.
So, for example,
mood.
We see a misty, foggy road through Beaumaris with a black car.
Yes.
On the road.
Or you might see a tree, but without all that detail of the leaves that the impressionists would have put in, like brush strokes of all the leaves, and you'd go, oh, they're leaves. Well, this might just be a shape and a colour in a misty tone. It's very beautiful. It's very ethereal, very atmospheric. She was very known for capturing transient subjects like a tram on a track, a car going down the road, wind, waves, shadows moving across the landscape. So things that we can all relate to. And then she'd add this atmospheric mood that other people find hard to capture in their work.
Mm.
Yeah, so it touches you.
And that's something about impressionism and tonalism for me. I'm thinking back now to the first time I walked into the Musée d'Orsay, into the Impressionist room.
Mm.
And it's the same at the National Gallery in London when you walk into the Impressionist galleries.
Yes.
The colour and light, it literally takes your breath away.
Yeah.
And is that what the tonalists are doing, that idea of emotionally connecting with the person looking at the picture in a very quick way?
I think overall they were just capturing atmosphere, but Clarice adds the emotion. I think that's her thing. And she was interested in Taoism and Buddhism and all of this, and she added that spiritual quality into her work. And you really can, if you view a whole selection of her work, you really can feel that little bit of sort of spiritual something. It's different. It's different to the other tonalists of her time. Yeah.
How do you connect with it emotionally when you see her work?
I find it so calming and like you're looking into another time and place and everything stops. And that's keyed into mindfulness, and mindfulness is keyed into all painting for me. But it's not that aggressive, animated, energetic painting of abstract impressionism, expressionism, and all of that. It's that really soft, pared back feeling where you connect to it and you just calm down. That's what it does for me.
But don't think you can rush out and buy one, because I had a quick look.
Yes.
Given that they were, a lot of her work was rescued from the garden shed.
Yes.
They are
in a farm fire.
Yeah, they fetch extraordinary prices now.
Up to $220,000, although some have been auctioned at $32 in the past.
Keep an eye out in the charity shops. I think that's the trick.
Around here, you might find one, Sandringham Op Shop.
Mind you, I was reading this morning in The Guardian, people are queuing up for hours in Sydney to buy gold.
Is that right?
Yeah, hoping that this amazing trajectory of gold is going to continue. But I digress. Back to Clarice Beckett. I'm with Jessica Watson-Thorpe on Southern FM, 88.3 Southern FM, and we're talking about Clarice Beckett, who became known as a Bayside artist, even though she actually wasn't born in Bayside.
No, she was born in Casterton in the country, in regional Victoria. Now, when you grow up in the country, I'm from the country, and I just thought that was normal, but now I realise it's actually quite different. What happens when you grow up in the country is you're very connected to the environment, the natural environment, and you're very connected to light. So you always wake up, go outside and look at the light. And there's this huge expanse of sky and ground that you're not exposed to if you live in the city. It's quite different. So I think she got her connection to light and atmosphere at a very early age, even before her training as a tonalist. Yeah, it's interesting.
And when she was studying, so just into her lifetime, because we've talked about how she is really valued now, but when she was painting and selling her art, how was she viewed by
Yeah, no, she wasn't. Well, one, she was a woman, so that was a negative. And two, even though she studied under prominent artists like Fred McCumber of the Heidelberg School and then went on to study with Max Meldrum, who had started up a brand new art school, and he sort of broke away from tradition and went right into this tonalist movement, and she was his top student. And he even proclaimed that at the end, even though he said, for a woman, she works like a man. But yeah, she's very different, well-known, and yeah, I really rate her work. It's something that people are, this year in particular, noticing for some reason.
Well, because she was very prominent for a year or so because her work was touring galleries. That might have helped,
yeah,
I guess.
Probably.
Yeah. Jessica Watson-Thorpe, great to talk art with you. Thanks again.
It's my pleasure.
Please come back.
I will.
Another time, and we'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Claire.